This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. The topic today that we will be speaking about, inshallah, will be taking advantage of your wealth before poverty afflicts you. This is a very important topic, and the reason being is because we are in the economic or financial state that the society right now is in. We're in an economic downturn. So many people are losing their jobs, and there are a lot of businesses are going out of business. And so, because of that situation, this is a very important topic, and especially when we're speaking about giving for the sake of Allah. Because the best time to give for the sake of Allah is right now, in the economic downturn, when things are not going that well. This is the best time to give. This is when we should give. It's the perfect time to give. You might say, hey, wait, that's the opposite. Isn't it like when you have a lot of money, that's when you should give? I mean, isn't it better that way? No. The opposite is true. What I have mentioned is true. It's the best time. And the reason being is because the Prophet ﷺ said so. He mentioned a hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. A man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, which charity is the best? أَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا, meaning which one will I get the most reward for doing? What type of sadaqah? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned the condition. And as he mentioned how or what type of sadaqah is the best, and in what condition that person is in. And so he said, "An tasaddaq." He said that when you give sadaqah, "Wa anta sahihun shahihun, takhsha al-faqr wa ta'mal ghina." He said the best time to give sadaqah is when you are healthy, sahihun, shahihun, and you're feeling a little bit greedy, miserly. You know, you feel this. You feel تَخْشَ الْفَقْر, and you're afraid of poverty. In other words, a condition that you're in, maybe you might be in a condition there where you're hoping to find a job. You're hoping to find a job, but you don't have the job yet. Or you do have a job, and you see many people being laid off. Your co-workers are no longer working. And you might be that next person. تَخْشَ الْفَقْر, and you're afraid of poverty. وَتَأْمَ الْغِنَى, but you're hoping for the best. You're hoping for the best. That is the best time to give sadaqah. The most rewarding of the sadaqats. The one that you'll get the most reward. And it is the best time also because it will help you in that financial state or situation that you are in. Maybe because you gave sadaqah, during that time, Allah will stabilize your financial situation. Maybe that's why you're not the one that will be laid off or fired. Because you gave sadaqah, because you helped. And so, and then he said, وَلَا تُمْهِلْ, and do not wait, and do not procrastinate, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ, until finally your soul reaches your throat, and then you say, oh, whatever I have is for such and such person, this person and that person, because it's already theirs. Meaning that time to give, there's not much reward in it, because it's already theirs. It's when you feel like, when it's difficult to give, that's when you are more rewarded. That's when the reward is greater. And that's one of the characteristics of a believer, that they spend in time of ease, and they spend in times of hardship. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and compete and vie with each other. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, vie and compete with each other for the forgiveness of Allah, for the mercy and forgiveness of Allah, of your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ, and paradise in which the width of which is the width of the heavens and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, prepared for those who have taqwa, for the muttaqeen. Now who are the muttaqoon? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us who they are. And then he says, أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, those who spend in times of ease and hardship. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, and those who control their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who forgive others. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and indeed Allah loves those who do good. Allah loves those who do good. And so these are the characteristics of the people of Jannah, the people of paradise. They control their anger, they control their emotions, they spend in times of hardship and in ease. And so you do not wait until you when you lose that money. You might want to help others, but you're not going to be able to. And so that's why you don't procrastinate. And one of the reasons, when you look at the Qur'an, when you read the Qur'an, I want you to read next time, I want you to focus on one aspect. And that is, read whenever you come across an ayah, a verse that is speaking about the people of the hellfire, I want you to look at the reasons why they are in the hellfire. Because they will mention why they are there. In many verses, when Allah speaks about the people in the hellfire, He will mention why they are there. And they themselves will mention, they will say so. And we will read about, you can read about it in the Qur'an. But there are a couple of reasons, there are a few reasons. And one of the reasons, but there's, these reasons have a common factor. Each one of them, you'll find most of the reasons for it is that they will say that they were procrastinators. That they were lazy, or they always procrastinated. They didn't do it there and then when they had the time. They didn't do the good deeds when they had the time. They didn't spend when they had the money. And so they are regretful afterwards. So look for that procrastination in the Qur'an, because Ibn Qayyim, he said, the majority of the people of a hellfire, when they enter the hellfire, it's because of their procrastination. And their sorrow and regrets are because of their procrastination, whether they, because they don't spend, or because they don't do good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about iman, belief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about belief in iman, He always puts together with it spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم آمنوا بالله ورسوله وأنفقوا مما جعلكم مستخلفين فيه. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and spend from that which He has given you when He's entrusted you with or given you as a trust in concerning it. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْفَقُوا لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Indeed, those who spend, who believe and spend, indeed they will have an enormous reward. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions belief, believing in Allah and spending for the sake of Allah and taking advantage of that before death comes. Because when death comes, when at the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the condition of the people when death comes. When death comes, what do they say? What do they want to do? What do they want to do? Do they want, what's the thing that they want to do? Do they want to come back so they can give their final farewell, goodbyes to their parents, to their friends, to their family members? No. At the time of death, do they want to, when they know that that death has already come, what do they want to do? Do they want to return back to take that final vacation, and then die? What's the last thing? What do they want to do? They want to come back. But when they want to come, when they say they want to come back, what do they want to do? They will want to do good deeds. But what kind of good deeds do they want? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an about those who pass away. When they die, the condition that they are in, and some of the things that they want. The thing is, many of the things that they want to do, we ourselves living in this world right now, we can do them right now. We can do them right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِي أَحَدِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولُ. And then he will say, رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجِلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Munafiqun, Allah says, spend, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ, from that which we have given to you, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِي أَحَدِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, before death comes to you, death comes to one of you. فَيَقُولُ, and he will say, لَوْلَا أَخَرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. If only you could bring me back for a short amount of time, just for a few moments, to do what? What's the thing that they want to do? فَأَصَدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, so that they can give sadaqah and be amongst those who are righteous. That's what they want to do when they want to come back. After they pass away, they wish that they could spend every penny, every pound, all the money that they have in the bank, they wish they could come back so they can give all of that away. So they could spend. They didn't say, I wish I could come back so I can see my father again, my mother again, my children again, my spouse again. No. فَأَصَدَّقْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, so that I can, just for a short moment in time, not long, just give me a few more moments, so that I can just empty my bank account and give that for the sake of Allah. Because they know that all of that which they have left, they're regretting it. They should have given that before this came, before death came. Or for many of us, sometimes before poverty comes. And so when poverty comes, the conditions of people always change. You'll see a millionaire, he's very rich, maybe at the end of his lifetime, or towards the end of his lifetime, he's broke and he has nothing left. You see, the conditions, the financial conditions of people always change. And so you spend before that time comes. And in fact, sometimes it's the opposite also. There will also come a time. These are glad tidings for the Muslims. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "La yatiyanna ala nas." There will come a time in which a man yatufu rajul fihi bi sadaqa. He will go around with money, with sadaqa min al-dhahab, from with gold and the likes. Thumma la yajidu ahadan ya'khudhuha minhu. Then he'll find nobody to take it away from him. Nobody will take it from him. The sadaqah that he has. This is glad tidings also for the Muslims. And you know, when some of the scholars have mentioned this is when the time when Prophet Isa alayhi salam and Imam Mahdi, when they come, because there's so much blessings in it. And when you spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't lose anything. You know, you have to, everything that you have in this world right now, anything that you love, anything that you like, you can take it with you to the hereafter. Anything. You can take it with you. But how do you do it? How do you do it? In order for you to take anything that you like in this life with you, you have to give it away for the sake of Allah. When you give it, that's when it remains with you. That's when it stays. If you don't give it, you keep it. Whatever you eat, whatever you use up, it's going to be used up and gone. Anything you love will stay with you if you give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why, and this is also a sign of piety and righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall never attain piety until you spend from that which you love. You won't attain piety and righteousness until you spend from that which you love. You don't look for the things that are leftovers and give that to others, or clothing that you no longer want, or things that you don't need. When you give the best. Because as a Muslim, we love for others what we love for ourselves is something that is required of every Muslim. But a person who achieves a higher level, a praiseworthy level, that's minimum for every Muslim. Most people, when they read the hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, when they read the hadith, none of you truly believes until he loves for himself what he loves for his brother. They think that that is a very high level of iman. But that's a minimum requirement. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, you shall not, la yu'minu, you will not believe, you will not have faith, you will not have iman until you do this. But then what is the praiseworthy position? The praiseworthy position is when you love others more than what you love for yourself. When you want for others more than what you even want for yourself. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall never attain piety until you spend from that which you love. And if you love for others more than what you love for yourself, this is the level in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They prefer others over themselves, even if they're in dire straits. I mean, even if there's hardships for them, but they prefer others over themselves. And so, when a person gives sadaqah, you give that which you love. And this is one way to save yourself from the hellfire. And as I mentioned, the condition, financial conditions of people change. And if you want to remain and have the blessing of Allah, then be thankful for that. Be thankful for the blessings that He has given to you in terms of your health, your wealth, and your money and everything else. So how can we be thankful? Because if you are thankful, If you are thankful, Allah will increase it for you. Allah will give you more. And He will increase it for you. وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And if you are thankful, I will increase it for you. So how can we show our gratitude for the wealth and the condition that we are in terms of the money and the wealth that we have? By using that wealth to do things that are pleasing to Allah. Spending it by helping in the da'wah. Spending it by helping other Muslims. And if you do this sincerely, from your heart to help others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also help you on the Day of Judgment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَن نَفَسَ عَن مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ الْيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whoever alleviates or relieves a believer of a calamity or affliction or any type of problem, Allah will alleviate from him one of the calamities and the problems and of the hereafter for him in the Day of Judgment. And whoever makes it easy for others, Allah will make it easy for him. That's in the hereafter. Also in this life, when you spend for the sake of Allah, when it's time, when you're in ease, when you do have the money, and you spend, when the hardship comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي شِدَّةِ. Know Allah in times of ease, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know you in times of hardship. And it's a way to save yourselves from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim from Adi ibn Hatim, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْكُم مِّنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانِ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to every one of you. There will not be anyone, He won't need between Him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will not be a translator or anybody. You will speak directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every one of you. Everyone will speak directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might say, wow, subhanallah, there are so many people. How can Allah personally speak to everyone all at once? There's billions and billions of people from the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam until the Day of Judgment. But Allah will speak to every one of them. There will not be a translator between you and Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that because He is Allah. And He's able to do that. That's because He can hear. We can hear also, but our hearing isn't like the hearing of Allah. We can see, and Allah can see, but our sight and vision is not like the sight of the seeing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees. Because He can see us here, and He can also see the Muslims in China, the Muslims in India, the Muslims in America, everywhere else at the same time. And He can hear them at the same time while they're speaking. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all capable, all able. And on the Day of Judgment, He will speak to every one of us individually. There will not be a translator between us and Allah. فَيَنْظُرُ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ. And He will look towards the right. The person, all of us, we will. And the person on the Day of Judgment will look towards the right. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. And He will not see anything except for that which He has done. وَيَنْظُرُ أَشْأَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. He looks towards the left, and all he sees is what he has already brought forth for himself. وَيَنْظُرْ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِ. And he will look in towards the front. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ. And he will not see except for the hellfire. تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِ. In front of him. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. He says, so fear the hellfire even with a small date. Just with half a date. Just with half a date, fear Allah. You might say, what's half a date going to help me? But you know, everything that you do, no matter how small it is, don't ever look degrade or look down upon a good deed. Don't ever think that a good deed is, this is such a small deed. No. Don't look at it as it being small. Because any deed that you do could be that deed that brings you to paradise. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not enter a person paradise because of their deeds alone. It is because of the mercy of Allah, His mercy. So anything that you, if Allah sees the mercy in that person's heart, He sees sincerity in that person's heart, maybe that small deed will enter you paradise, even if it's half a date. Let me give you an example. Some of us have heard the story. Some of us have heard the story of a woman. The Prophet ﷺ told us in the hadith in Sahihain, Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. A woman was walking in the desert. She came across a well and she was very thirsty. So she entered the well. She drank until she was quenched. And then she came out of the well and she saw a dog. This dog was so thirsty that it was licking the grounds around the well. It was licking the grounds around the well. And so she said to herself, you know, this dog is just as thirsty as I was before I entered the well to drink from it. And so she returned to the bottom of the well. She took off her leather socks and she filled up her leather socks with water and she gave the water to the dog. And it drank. And because of it, Allah forgave her all her sins. And this is a prostitute. And in another narration in Sahih Muslim, Allah entered her paradise. Allah entered her paradise because of that. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah commenting on this hadith, he said, not every prostitute that gives water to a dog will enter paradise. Not every prostitute that gives water to a dog will enter paradise. Otherwise, we got a lot of people looking for dogs, just give water. Alhamdulillah, I got it made. I'm saved. Right? What's the difference between this prostitute and all the other people who have given water to dogs? What's the difference? The difference is in the heart. Allah saw the sincerity and the mercy in her heart, even towards an animal that was in need. The sincerity was there. The mercy was there. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. Have mercy upon those who are on earth, and the one who is in the heavens will have mercy upon you. And so every deed, don't belittle a good deed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La tahqiranna min al-ma'rufi shay'a, walau an talqa akhaka biwajhin talq. So don't ever belittle a good deed. Even if you were to just meet your brother with a smile on your face. Don't look at his deed as being small. Another person entered paradise because he cleared the way, the road. Because he saw it was obstructing the people's way. And so he did that. Because of that, Allah forgave him and entered paradise. This is another man. These are deeds. Maybe when you're in the masjid, and you're walking by and you're seeing this little, you know, maybe it's a little bit dirty, and you clean it, but nobody's there. You clean it instead of waiting for other people to do so, instead of going complaining. Why isn't the person responsible to clean the bathroom here? Why isn't he cleaning? Instead of doing that, you do it yourself. Maybe because of that, you'll enter paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sees that mercy, and maybe from that time on, He'll guide you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring, you know, will give you tawfiq and guidance to do all that which is good, and then eventually enter you al-jannah, in paradise. And so, when we give something, also be consistent. Even if it's a little, You know, even if it's a little. Whatever you have, give it consistently. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خير الأعمال أدومها وإن قل. So when you have something, the best deeds are that which is consistent. The best deeds are that which are consistent, even if it's just a small amount of it. So be consistent. Consistency is very important. So make a conviction in your heart from now on to give for the sake of Allah every day. Even if it's just half a pound or less than that. Just give a little bit, as much as you can, but be consistent. Or even if it's just 1 pound. Maybe today you can't give. You forget. Well, next day, tomorrow, put 2 in. Be consistent. Because if you're going to do that, let me tell you the benefits. Let me tell you the benefit of it. The Prophet ﷺ said, Every morning, there are 2 angels. Their job is to make dua. Their job is to supplicate. You know, the supplication of the angels are accepted. They appear creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedient creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not disobey Him. Whatever they are ordered to do, they do it correctly, properly, and they're given the power to do whatever responsibilities that they have been given. Every morning, there are 2 angels. One, the Prophet ﷺ says, one of them says, Allahumma a'ti kulli dhi munfiqin khalafa. Oh Allah, give those who spend more. In other words, give them more. Those who spend, give them more. Allah. Then the second one says, Allahumma a'ti kulli dhi mumsikin talafa. And oh Allah, whoever is miser and holds back and does not spend, then destroy his wealth. So every morning, there's no third category here. You either fall into this category of somebody who spends that day, or somebody who didn't give. You're either amongst those who can give or didn't give. And if you don't have money and wealth and so forth, at least help out with something. Be productive. Be helpful. Help other Muslims. Help other people. Even a dog. Even a non-Muslim, you might say, oh, non-Muslim. Yeah, but a dog. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, one of the great scholars of Islam, muhaddithin, he said, the hadith of the prostitute, said this hadith shows that as humans, as Muslims, we are ordered to be kind and helpful, even towards dogs. So what's above animals? Humans. So even if they're non-Muslims, we are ordered to be productive and helpful. And we are supposed to help them. So even the reward is even there when a person is sincere, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. But if you have Muslims that are in need, of course, they should take priority. But be somebody who helps. Be somebody who gives. Otherwise, you will fall under the other category. The one who holds back. The one who doesn't spend. And the angel is making dua against that person. So if you're consistent every day, then Allah will increase your wealth. Allah will increase your wealth. Because this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A promise from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا نَقَسَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. Any sadaqah, anything that you spend, will not be decreased. It's not decreased by charity. Your wealth, you might say, well, it's decreased. But in essence, Allah will bless your wealth and you will have more. You will have more. And it will be blessed also. And if your wealth is blessed, then it will be helpful for you. Because if wealth, money, wealth, and children, if there's no blessing in it, then it will be harmful for you. Let's say you make 2,000 pounds, 2,000 pounds a month. If you have no blessing in those 2,000 pounds, some things will happen. Maybe this, you know, you'll get something will happen to your car. this and that, and you'll lose your money. Maybe your business will not be profitable. And so you will start losing. But if you were to spend, Allah would put blessings in it. And then you will not have to go through all that stress. And even if you had 1,000 pounds a month, you would still have money left over at the end of the month after paying all the bills. But if you didn't have blessing in your wealth, maybe you might be making 5,000 pounds, but at the end of the month, you're spending more than what you have. And so you're in the minus, you're in the red, instead of being in the positive. Because there's no blessing. This will happen, that will happen, this person will cheat you and things like that. Because there's no blessing and it all goes back. And so ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you wealth which is clean and pure, and bless the wealth that you have. And the same way with your children. If Allah has blessed the children that you have, then they will be helpful and they will be good towards you. And they will not cause you stress. Like there are some people on Saturday nights, they don't know where their children are at. They don't know where they have gone. And they can't sleep that night. But there are others who at home, their children are cleaning their houses for them. They're helping them do the dishes and cleaning up and washing up every day. And they're very helpful and make them happy. When you look at your children, you're happy. Sometimes some people, they look at their children and they're sad because of the condition that they're in. Because of the problems that they bring home. Because of the problems that they have with the authorities. Because of the problems that they have with their friends. And they might be bringing in drugs and things like that and causing problems in the family. Because there is no barakah. And so if you want to stay away and be safe from all that, spend for the sake of Allah. Because when you do that, it shows that you're thankful and you're grateful of this blessing. And when you give, especially zakat, zakat is not your money. That belongs to the poor. It belongs to those who are in need. There are people that you have to give that to. Allah gives you that wealth as a test for you. And that's why it's called zakat. It means purification, because it purifies your wealth. The wealth that you have now is mixed with other people's wealth also. The 2.5% that you have technically is not yours. You might have it in your account. You might have it in your safe. You might have it in your possession. But it's not yours. Allah has given you that as a test. And if you do not clean, give that to others, then you will defile your wealth, all of it. And it will not be pure. And that's why you have to give the zakat when the time comes and when you have the amount. You have to give it. And it's not yours. And you might say, why couldn't Allah just give it directly to the other person? Why did it have to go through me? You know, I want to keep all of this. Why did he have to directly? He couldn't have done that. Yes, he could have, but he's merciful towards you. It's his wealth, and he wants you to give so you can get the reward. So you can get the reward because he's merciful towards you, and it builds love in the community also. It's so that you can love each other. And you can help each other. And you can feel that you are one. And together, the rich and the poor. The have and the have-nots. And so you can build that relation and strengthen yourself. And now you have more friends. The rich are not envious of you or jealous of you. Because you have that wealth. The poor, they're not envious of you or jealous of you because you're helping them out. And that's why the first thing that you do is you help people in your community. As long as you have people in your community that are in need, you should not send it out to Pakistan or to India or to Africa. If you have people in your community that are in need, you have to take care of the people who are close to you first, unless those people out there, they're related to you, relatives. Because when you give sadaqah or zakat to those who are related to you, As long as they're not your parents or your children or grandchildren or grandparents, you can give to your aunts and uncles and cousins. It is better to give to them because you'll get double the reward. But you have to take care of the people in the community first. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said, you are going to the people of the book. When he was sending him to Yemen, he said, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. You are going to the people of the book. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You are going to meet the people of the book. Let the first thing you call them to be shahada, لا إله إلا الله. Be لا إله إلا الله. Call them to the oneness of God. And if they follow you and obey you in that aspect, then tell them that Allah has made obligatory upon them the 5 daily prayers. And if they obey you in that aspect, then tell them, tell them to that Allah has made incumbent upon them the zakat. تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. Taken from the rich amongst them and returned to the poor amongst them. There were many people who were poor in Medina. Did he say, take the money and give to the poor? Did he stop at that? No. He said, take it and send it to Medina? No, he didn't say, take it and send it to Medina. Even though there are many poor people in Medina. But he said, take it from the poor, from the rich amongst them, and give to the poor amongst them. So that you can build this relation. So that the community can be stronger. Take care of the people who are near you before you go on to the next level. So that's why some of the scholars are of the opinion that as long as you have poor people around, you cannot send it to others in other country. Some scholars have made the exception, if they're related to you, then you can. But otherwise, you should keep it in the area where you live. Everyone should take care of their friends and family that are close together first, and the community members, because you see them every day. And it strengthens that bond. And so there's hikmah, there's wisdom in it. And so you have to spend as long as you have, because as I mentioned, you have to do so because the Prophet ﷺ said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take advantage of 5 things before 5. شبابك قبل حرمك. Your youth before old age. And then he said, وغناك قبل فقرك. And your wealth before you become poor. Your wealth before you become poor. And when a person gives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, this, if you're giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it for you. But one of the main things to, if you want to increase your wealth, is having taqwallah, having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you a story. A very close friend of mine, he had a job. And he had been working for a very long time at this particular place, at his company. Every Friday he would go to pray Jum'ah, go pray Friday prayer. He had no problem with the supervisor. The supervisor had no problem with him going, even though Fridays usually are very hectic times. Everybody's trying to catch up and finish the week's job, week's, you know, the duties and so forth. And so, especially towards the end of the day, and they need the workers more. You need to work, you know, harder to finish everything up so you can leave. And everybody wants to, or some people just want to finish up quickly so they can go home a little bit earlier. And this is how it is. And so everything was going smoothly. They didn't have any problems until they changed supervisors. So he had a new person that was in charge, and a new boss. This new boss told him, seeing him in the, you know, always leaving after Jummah, he said, you know, that's not fair. You have other people here, and this is the most hectic time of the whole week. Like, we have so many things to do during this time. We want to finish up whatever we need to finish up for the week before the weekend starts. And so at the end of the last hours of Friday, This is the most hectic time. We need you more than any other time of the week. And then you're going to leave? I mean, it's not fair for all the other people. It's not fair for all the other people. If you have to go, can't you go any other day? It says, no, Friday prayer is Friday prayer. We can't go any other time of the day. That's the only time. The only time that we have, that we should, that's mandatory, obligatory upon us. All the other times are recommended for us to go. It's better for us to go, but this is mandatory for us to go. So he said, if that's the case, I think you should be looking for another job. And so he said, no, I can't do this. This is my religion. I can't do anything. So he's thinking. He has a job that's very hard. It's like very specific. You know, it's a type of field that, you know, you can't just go anywhere. Especially, you know, in the Seattle area, it's related to aeronautics, and so you can't really, you know, these jobs are not. It's not like you can just hop onto the next door and then apply there or anything like that. There are not that many around. So he said, you know, if you can't do this, maybe you should look for another place to work, another job to work. So he says, what can I do? This is my religion. And so he says, now you have a choice to make then. He said, now you have the choice to make. So the next week comes, and he says, I'm just letting you know that you have a choice. You can go if you want. La ilaha illallah. Sorry about that. La ilaha illallah. He said, you have a choice. You either can, you know, you can go. But you know, don't be surprised if you're gonna see this pink slip. You know, there's this pink note right there. That means you're fired. So if you can go, so he's in between a rock and a hard place. He's thinking, how am I supposed to find another job? But you know, I have to fulfill the responsibility, obligation that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has put upon me. So he decides to go. He just goes, and he comes back, thinking that he's going to be fired. See, because the boss told him, he said, don't be surprised. And so his friend says, you know, the boss wants to see you in his office. He says, oh, this is it? He said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is it? Comes to his office. And he's thinking all kinds of thoughts. Like, how am I going to support my family? How am I going to, like, you know, what am I going to do now? You know, I've been working for a long time. So his boss says, listen, I've been really thinking a lot. I've been thinking a lot. And I've been looking over what Islam really is. And you know, I find out that you have to pray more than just Fridays. You guys have to pray 5 times a day. Well, that takes dedication there. That takes some serious dedication. And I was reading about it, and I just feel that, you know, from now on, if you want to pray the other 5 prayers also, there's a mosque nearby, you can go. And he's like, he's cleaning his ears. He said, did I just hear what I just heard? Like, this guy was really harsh on him, and all of a sudden, he comes back. He's telling him to go pray the regular prayers too. You go to regular prayers also. Like if it doesn't take long, maybe 15 minutes or so, it's okay. You know, just come back. If you want to need to make up anything, just make up some time later if you want. No, it's okay. I understand. You know, I understand. But you see, this person, he had to make a decision. But when he made the correct decision, that's when Allah made everything easy for him. When Allah tested him to see if he truly feared Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will open a way for him. And He will make things easy for him. He'll open a way for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And He will give him provision from where he never thought of before. But there's this man, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ here, this is conditional. That means you have to fear Allah first. You have to fear Allah first. And when you pass that test, then you will start seeing things. Let's say you're in a job that you know it's haram. But if you remain in that job, If you remain in that job and just asking Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Allah will not accept your dua. You may say, wow, that's serious. How do you say Allah will not accept your dua? Why? Because your clothing is from haram, your food is from haram, and you grew from haram because this wealth is from haram. So how can Allah accept it from you? You got to get out of there first and show that you fear Allah. Then Allah will open a way for you. Because if Allah already showed you the other halal jobs, let's say you got three other options. Hey, I'll leave it. It's easy. But you don't see anything yet. You will not see anything yet. It's when you decide, you say, I fear Allah, la ilaha illallah, you come out and then you start seeing these job openings. But before that, you will not see any job openings. And that's why Allah tests us. And also when you're with wealth, you spend it for the sake of Allah, and Allah will increase it for you. Show that you're thankful by using that wealth in the obedience of Allah. Don't spend it in haram. And you know, in this society, you know how we got to here? To this situation that we're in? Because this society teaches us to buy things we don't need with money we don't have, to please people we don't even like. I mean, you don't even like them, but you're trying to keep up with them all the time. You know, you're trying to compete with them. Do you like them? Not really. But you're trying to get more than them, and you're wasting your money doing it, and time. And you're buying things you don't even need. Before, you know, earlier, old days, before all this TV and things like that, people used to only buy things they needed. They didn't buy things they didn't need. But now, you know, you have to have, you know, before somebody had a TV, right? Somebody had a TV. It's like, wow, you got a TV. It's like black and white, 12 inches, right? It's like the whole neighborhood is coming to look at it, you know? Next thing you know, Richard's got color TV. Whoa, you got color TV. Next thing you know, this guy's got a big screen. Like 52 inches. Oh, 52 inches. Oh, you got 52 inches? Well, you know the other guy got HD TV. I can see the grass when I watch Manchester United. Right? I can see every strand of grass. Yeah, I need it. Well, why do you need to see the grass? 20 years ago, for the last 10 years, you never complained about not seeing the grass. Now you start complaining. Oh, I got to see the grass. I got to see every strand of grass. It can't be just like green there. It's got to be like more clear. I got to have HD TV. Before we had internet, you know, dial-up, right? It goes, dee, dee, dee. You see some of the, you know, that sound that comes on sometimes in commercials and the adverts, they say, you know, is your internet slow? Right? Well, we got DSL. Next thing you got high-speed internet. Well, you know, it wasn't slow until you said so. Yeah, now it's slow, right? Before, for the last 10 years, nobody complained that it was really, really slow. Now everyone's complaining. Now I need it. Before, nobody needed these phones, mobile phones. Now I can't live without them. Well, all those people before, did they die because of it? In fact, we memorized telephone numbers. Now we don't memorize any phone numbers since we got the cell phone. See, these are things, there are many things that this society tells you that you need. But there are many things you don't need. And so live simple, whatever you have, show that you are sincere by giving it for the sake of Allah. Anything you love, you give it for the sake of Allah, that's how you keep it. That's how you bring it with you. Because we are traveling and we're moving. I'm going to give you an example. Imagine, you're living in a house, so you're going to move to a new house. You're going to move to a new house. When you move to that new house, you don't take anything with you. Everything you leave back for whoever buys it, just let them keep it. But you can't afford to buy anything new. Now, if your friend comes to you, what's he going to tell you? So, what's wrong with you? You a fool or what? You're going to leave your bed, your sofa, everything at the other house when you need to bring it? Why don't you want to bring it? Now, are you planning to live here for a long time or not? Yeah, I am. This is my permanent place from now on. Well, you don't want anything?
You know, what is he going to say? You fool. Man, you got to get this thing checked out. It's a little cuckoo up here, right? Right? If somebody did that, for us, anything that you have, if you want to take it with you to the hereafter, if you want to put it in that moving lorry, bring it over, you give it for the sake of Allah, and then you'll see it in the hereafter. So spend before that's taken away from you, before you don't have any choice. You might not have a choice after that. When death comes, you won't have a choice. When sickness comes, you won't have a choice. And when you're, you know, when calamities afflict, you might not have that choice. So give before poverty afflicts you. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ